so very much. You may be seated. Wanted to mention just a couple things real quick. This coming Saturday, when we do this mini marriage, kind of a little bit of a retreat, I've been married 37 years, and I'm thrilled to come. It's not going to be the kind of thing where they're going to tell me, hey, this is how bad I am. It's the kind of thing that's going to say, hey, remember this. Hey, boy, this is important. And I'm excited about it. There's a few more spots left. For those who are coming, here's a little bit of a thought for you. If you had a question about relationships, in other words, you said, man, I wish I could ask this, but there's no way I would do it out loud. Write it down, hand it to me, and I'll give it to our speakers. Kind of an anonymous, like nobody's going to go, yeah, that was him. So it's just one of those things. The other thing, Pastor Kevin mentioned about our purpose class. Here's what that is. It's an opportunity for you to see the behind the scenes. You know what we do, but why do we do it? Another part of purpose class, if you say, boy, I'm feeling good about Hope Church. I think I might want to connect a little more. It's the opportunity for you if you would like membership at Hope Church. So I just want you to be aware of that. And the last thing I want to do before I start this is I want to pray for somebody today. I don't know if it's at home. I don't know if it's here. But when Pastor Kevin was talking about the Lord felt far from you. And if you were the one who said, you know, I'm kind of feeling that. As I was sitting in my seat there, I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, for that person, you need to tell them that I know. You need to tell them that they're not forgotten and that I not only know their name, I have a purpose and a plan for their life. And I don't know if it's a friend at home. I don't know if it's you here, but I want to pray for you because God loves you that much that he spoke to my heart and said, you just have to stop what you're doing, Jim, and tell them that they're not alone and that they matter to me. So let me pray for you. And if that is you, maybe after service, say, hey, thanks for praying for me, Pastor Jim. I love y'all. And I could never love you as much as God does. So let me pray for you. Father, I don't know the who, and it really doesn't matter that I don't know because you know, and you spoke to my heart and said, tell them that I love them. Tell them they're not abandoned. Tell them that I care. And God, sometimes to walk with you, it's not easy. It doesn't mean you're not there. It's just not easy. And Lord, I pray whether it's a person, Hope at home or Hope right here in the building, Lord, that right now you would warm their heart and remind them that you care, that you love them, that you allowed your son to die in their place. Lord, I pray for them, Lord. Give them hope. Give them help in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the second week in a new series we started called Connecting the Dots. And it's kind of all about having better and more quality relationships. And then I started thinking about, yeah, but what about those people who push our buttons? What about those people like we're in a super good mood? You know, the sun is shining and we're doing really, really good. The birds are singing and we're just happy. And then comes along a button pusher. And like within 1.2 seconds, you're being like, oh, the birds, I love it. It's warm. Have you ever had a button pusher in your life? Yeah. And you know, that actually comes from the 1920s. When during the 1920s, you know, there was a button you could push and like a big thing would happen. Kind of this industrial revolution and things started to really move. And then it translates into our lives. When people push our buttons, a big thing happens. Somebody said it this way. To dwell above with those we love, oh, that is what we call glory. But to dwell below with those we know, now that's a different story. You know, if you want to have better relationships, which is what this is about, how do we deal with the people who push our buttons? And I want to relate to you some verses out of Proverbs. The first one is this: a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Okay, that's not what we want. We don't want to be a person without self-control even when people are pushing our buttons. We don't want to be like a city that has broken down walls where we're defenseless. Another proverb that says this: better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than conquer a city. In other words, it's more important to be in control of your own emotions than somebody powerful. It's not always easy to be patient. It's not always easy to have self-control. And you already know this, but we learn to express ourselves from what we've been taught. Like what you learned from your parents. This is kind of how you do it. Or what you learned watching a TV show. Or what you learned in school. We all express ourselves like in different ways. There are those people, some of us blow up. Right? We're cussing, we're yelling, we're throwing things, we're letting things fly. I mean, here it goes. Some of us blow up and some of us bottle up. When we're mad, are you mad? No. You seem kind of mad. No, I'm not. Okay. Some of us blow up, some of us bottle up, some of us back up. It's all my fault. Kind of a martyr. This all happened because of me. Woe is me. And then there's what I call the boomerang people. Hey, they don't get mad. They get even. Right? These are the people that it's hard to catch them because they're going to kind of do it behind your back. They're not going to be up front with you, but boy, they're going to get... And this happens in the church. Church people are good at this. I'm not mad. No, but then they're in a prayer meeting. Oh, Lord. You know, sister so-and-so. Oh, they grieved my spirit, Lord, but to you I give them. What is that? That's a lie. You need to say, I'm ticked off. And this is why. But some of us, I mean, we blow up. Some of us bottle up. Some of us back up. And then some of us act like a boomerang. And every one of these is learned. Do you know if you learn something, you can relearn something? Or you can unlearn something? There are appropriate ways that we can actually deal with those people who push our buttons. And maybe in the process, not have our buttons pushed to the extent that we have a big reaction. And that's what I want to talk about. The Bible teaches, I'm just going to give you four or five ideas that come straight out of the scriptures, come straight out of Proverbs. Here's the first one. An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. When somebody pushes your buttons, the cost. There's always a price tag for your reaction. There's always a price tag for how we respond to others. When you lose control, you do foolish things, a lot more sins. When you respond back in anger, what normally happens is that we lose. We lose relationships. We lose respect. Many people have lost their jobs. Anger and how we respond to those who make us angry is one of the best ways and the fastest way to ruin a relationship. So when someone is pushing your buttons, before you retaliate, you want to ask this, do I really want to pay this price? I don't know what happens. Every time I go to California, I'm like, you don't even have to barely push my button. I just get this attitude. And Mary, I told you, last time we were there, I'm waiting for our luggage like a nice person. Somebody steps right in front of me. No. And so I didn't think about counting the cost. I thought, no, this isn't going to work. So when I grabbed my luggage, I made sure it, you know, kind of went around them. So I smacked them with it a few times. Have you ever, when somebody pushed your buttons driving, did something in response? Am I the only sinner in the church? Some of you, we should be talking about lying. You're not truthful. But how do you like your pastor saying that, you bunch of liars? We're all liars. And we lie to ourselves more than we should. And if you think that responding in anger doesn't cause conflict or many, many foolish sins, you are deceiving yourself. So what do we do? Number one, hey, I don't want to act like that. I don't want to act foolishly. I don't want to commit more sins. Right? I mean, I'm what I am already. Last thing I want to own, add another sin to the list. Count the cost. Here's another one in Proverbs. Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. If you're wise, listen to this. Practical principle number two. Sometimes you need to look past the pain of what somebody is doing to you. Hurting people hurt people. When somebody is mean, cranky, and they're just... Just awful to be around. What they're doing, they're beating a drum as hard as they can possibly beat it. And the tone of that drum is this: I am hurting. And sometimes we need to give people not what they deserve, but we need to give them grace. I am not in any moment of any of our conversation saying that we need to be the whipping boy, so to speak, of somebody's anger. That we need to be the doormat for somebody to stomp on us. But the truth is, sometimes people act the way they do because they're really hurting. And if we just pause for a moment and think about why are they responding in this way, it makes a big difference. We earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Boy, that's not always easy. But you decide, I decide. Am I going to do the right thing or am I going to retaliate? Am I going to do the Jesus thing or am I going to do that thing where the flesh rises up in me and my button's pushed and they deserve it? Am I going to look past their words and maybe try to consider their pain? What they need maybe isn't what they deserve, but I'm going to keep in control of my temper. The Bible says this in Proverbs 15, a gentle answer deflects anger, or it also in other translations says a gentle answer turns away wrath. But harsh words make tempers flare. It says a gentle answer deflects anger. Whose anger? Sometimes it's your anger. If you ever get in an argument, when you raise your voice, it makes it worse. And then they raise their voice, and they raise their voice. I learned this when we were newly married. My dad used to yell. So I thought, I'm not going to be my dad. So I would just talk like this. And Sharon's dad would just talk like this. And she's like, you're yelling at me. No, I'm not. This is yelling.
wait a minute.
A gentle answer deflects anger. And a lot of times, that anger is your own anger. And it also works on those who you're in conflict with. Boy, is the Bible not relevant? It's so relevant. Here's the third one, when someone's pushing your buttons. And this is just good stuff coming out of the scriptures. Ready for this? Three words. Think before reacting. Can we just say that together? Ready? Think before reacting. Right, because anger control is largely a matter of mouth control. This is what Proverbs says, another great proverb for us. Wise people think before they act. Fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. And this is not always easy. You put your mind in gear before you put your mouth in gear. Do you know why people can push your buttons? It's really because of about three things. The first reason people can push your buttons and make you angry is because something that they're doing, it hurts you. It makes you feel bad. And I'm not talking about, let's pause there for a moment. I'm not talking about, like, if somebody were to be mean to my grandkid, oh, I'd be a psycho. I'm just telling you straight up. If somebody would disrespect my wife, you might as well just call me a psycho. I don't care. That's different. I mean, you should protect your family. You should care about those type of things. I'm just talking about the guy driving next to you, the person at work who is just a jerk, or you get it, the people who push your buttons. But why do we get angry? Because it hurts. What you did and what you said, it hurts me. And another thing that happens, you're frustrated. Have you ever had the blessing of the DMV? Oh, it's no problem. I'm number four. No, it has to spin through the cycle of 1 to 100 seven times before we get to four. How many times do you go back there? Oh, I'm sorry, that little piece of paper. Can we make up a piece of paper? Well, no, that won't work. Oh, Jesus, come quickly. And they're not in a hurry. You understand that? We get our buttons pushed when we're frustrated. Have you ever been in line, ready to check out of the grocery store somewhere, and the person can't find their wallet? And you think things like, are you crazy? We all know we have a wallet. You all know you had to get your money out. Yeah, have you ever done that? Yes, you have. Have you ever had your buttons pushed because you're frustrated? Yes. And here's another reason why we lash out, because we're afraid. And we've seen this because of even coronavirus. All of us are a little more on edge. All of us are a little more opinionated. All of us are a little more reactionary, just because it's hard right now and we're fearful. We're fearful for our own lives and we're fearful for our loved ones. And while we really want to keep living and try not to be ridiculous over this, we have to step back and go, I don't know what ridiculous is. And so I'm a little fearful. I don't know if I should travel, or if I should just stay home, or, you know, should I, you know, sanitize the bread wrapper, or, you know, remember first, sanitize your shoes. What do you mean my shoes? I'm not walking in the yard. My dog, and, you know, truthfully, this is why our buttons get pushed, because we feel hurt. I don't want to be hurt. And then we're just frustrated. And then we're scared. And these are reasons why we get hurt, but wise people think before they react. And maybe you could ask yourself that. Why is this making me so mad? Well, it's easy, Lord. They're dumb, and I'm not sure how you did that to them. Have you ever had those thoughts? I'm sure people think that about me. You know, there's times where, matter of fact, this is so bad. About a week or so ago, Sharon and I spent the night in Branson on a Sunday night, and we're just driving home, and the light turned green, and my goodness, I don't have a new Corvette. I mean, I have my truck. You press the gas, you hold it, and it goes. Lady behind me honks. Lord, you know she needs to be taught a lesson. So we're going to speed up, and I'm going to hit my brakes. Have you ever done that? This message maybe has nothing to do with you and just your pastor. But so I hit my brakes. Well, I didn't cause an accident. But I think she learned her lesson, and then I felt so bad. I mean, I don't even think she could see me. She's very old, you know. She's in a car that's like as big as a house. And here I'm smacking my brakes, and I think she was terrified, and I thought she thinks I'm a terrorist. She's like way back now. She wouldn't even get close to me. And I thought, oh, Lord, somebody needs to hear the email. We need to cool the jets a little bit. We need to pause on that a moment. You know, this is a water bottle. And when if I were to squeeze that real hard, you know what's going to come out of this? Kool-Aid. No, water. Yeah, I mean, wow, Jim, you're really a good teacher. Water is going to come out of this. That's exactly right. Even if I squeeze it in the heart, water's going to come out of it. Let me ask you a personal question. What happens when you get your heart squeezed? It's the last principle we're going to talk about. You know what comes out when you get squeezed? Whatever's inside. Pressure always reveals what's inside of us. I mean, we don't like to admit it, but it's the truth. You know, things come out of our mouth and we're like, I have no idea where that came from. Well, I do. It came straight out of your heart. It came straight out of your heart. And what needs to happen for all of us is to consider how to change the inside, and that affects the outside. I've been to India many, many times, and we can't drink the water. And the reason we can't drink the water is because it's contaminated. And picture if you had your own well and the well was contaminated, would you say, oh, well, we just need to change the pump? Like in India, oh, no, we just need to change the faucet and we're fine. No, you've got to clean up the water in order not to have dirty water. And this is one of the problems with a lot of modern psychology, a lot of self-help books. They can identify, oh, yeah, you need to change that faucet in your life. Get a little happier, get a little. No. You don't change the faucet in your life. You don't change the outlook without messing with the inside. And so if you're a person who says, you know what, I want to be better than I am. Do you know that's actually possible? I learned some bad habits growing up. What was modeled in front of me in terms of how to handle situations. I'm not perfect, and I've already told you I'm not. But you know, I used to struggle with anger. And the truth is, I don't anymore. Well, it wasn't because I bought a new shirt or a new hat or, you know, bought this or that. It's because of something happening inside of me. And if you want to change, then here's how you do it. Ask God for help. And then base your identity on Christ alone. Psalm says this, and it's a prayer, it's talking to God. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. How about we don't make this complicated? And very simply, it means I have to depend on you, God. I can't depend on me. Because what is kind of hanging on to me, and it kind of wants to keep hanging on to me, is dirty water. And so if I just rely upon myself and my wit and, oh, just more education or another self-help book, it's not going to work. But if you pray a sincere prayer and you seek the Lord, now that will work. I'm telling you, it's been in my life. Now, you know, here's the problem. You don't just dump off stuff. Because there's a dump truck of stuff that keeps trying to dump stuff on you. Right? You don't just say, oh, I'm never going to be frustrated again. Yes, you are. I'm never going to have my buttons pushed again. Wait till you go home today. I mean, it happens. But when we're sincere and say, God, I need you to rearrange my heart. I need you to help me. God, I'm depending on you. Friends, that makes a difference. I'm telling you. And it doesn't make a 1 week difference. It makes a 2 week difference and a 3 week difference and years of difference in my life. If I want to really deal with people in situations that push my buttons, guess what I need to deal with first? Me. I would so much rather just say, Lord, there's just some really dumb people. No. Lord, how about help me not to be the dumb one? Help me to be the one that's Spirit-led. Help me to be the one that is living out the fruits of the Spirit. Help me to have enough of you in me that when somebody pushes my buttons, I'm not going 1 to 100 in about 1.2 seconds. God, I don't know what's going on in their life, but I know what's going on in my life, and I'm the one who needs to be changed. Once we say that, I believe things start to happen, and they did in my life. And here's the other thing. Then you continually work on building your identity in Christ. If you build your identity on your job, and it's not what you do, but it becomes who you are, what happens when you lose your job? Build your identity on your good looks. Someday if you make it, you're going to be 57 and realize, well, that doesn't work. You build your identity on your relationships. Sometimes that goes south, and not even because you want it to. Of course, we want to try to do the best we can at our job. And of course, you know, we want to try to do what we can do to, you know, in my case, just keep whatever works still and not abuse my body like I did when I was younger. And it's not bad to have quality relationships. We want that. This whole series is about how to have better relationships. But if you base your life on that, Your buttons are easily pushed because you care about a lot of things that you can lose. Somebody this week at Hope had no idea, boom, their job's gone. You got to have more. And then it's not what you have, it's what has you, and you're so stressed out because you can't afford what you have. But it was that thing that was going to make your life complete. There's a beautiful verse in Proverbs. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Boy, as a young pastor, I struggled with this. I wanted to make everybody happy. And it's just not going to work. I mean, even in our family, I can't make them all happy. Even just try to pick where you're going to lunch. It can be one of those things. Fine, we won't eat for a month. Okay. Listen here. Identity in the Lord brings safety and strength. Do you realize that He loves you unconditionally, that you're absolutely His, you're valuable, you're worthwhile? He has a purpose and plan for your life, but if you don't base your identity in Christ and what He wants you to do, you're chasing all kinds of things, and all kinds of things don't work. They don't work. They work momentarily. When you understand that God has a purpose for your life, all of a sudden you're not trying to figure out your identity and your job. Job's what you do, and we got to work. But my call from Christ is who I am. Come job or no job, I'm still His. He's still proud of me. I'm still a kid of the King. You know, you base your identity in a job, in a bank account, in talent, in relationships. All that can change in a blink of an eye. All of that I can lose. But when I base my identity in what God says about me, then I become more generous in how I treat you. I become more gracious even when my buttons are pushed. And again, this is not something that's a one-time thing, and we love a one-time thing, right? I want it now, and then let's move on. Our microwave broke a week ago. You'd have thought somebody burned our house down. I mean, I had to get out a pan, and I'm cooking a leftover burrito in a pan and flipping it. Oh, wow. Had no idea. It's been like a minute. Normally it's done in a minute, right? And so we get frustrated and we get our buttons pushed, but in reality, none of that matters. What matters is what we don't hear enough about. It's you having a relationship with Christ, and what does the Scripture say here? But trusting the Lord means safety. God determines who you are. Let's wrap things up, and we're going to have worship folks come up and lead us in one more song. Maybe you're thinking, you know what? My buttons are pretty touchy, and I'd like not to be that person. And maybe you're thinking, I'm tired of worrying about what everybody thinks. I'm tired of just being frustrated and having no peace in my life. Jesus can replace the power you don't have with His power. And he can give you peace, the scripture said, that surpasses your understanding. And what that peace of God can do is guard your heart and your mind. And then he helps you to focus on the things that matter, and it changes your attitude. Jesus can replace that hurt in your heart with his love. He can replace that insecurity and fear with his safety. And he can replace that frustration so it's just not amped up so much when you understand his peace. Boy, I love y'all. And I love growing with you. I love the fact that I can admit to you I'm not perfect. I mean, I know that's not a shock to you, but at least I admit it. And I want to grow with you. I'm not above you. The God who cares and the God who can change my life and has changed my life can help you as well. And it's a reoccurring process. So I want to say a simple prayer for me. As I was going through this, I'm like, Jim, not bad for you to have that touch again and again and again. And maybe you're with me and you say, God, there's some things that, if I were honest, I'd like to clean the water and quit trying to change the faucet. Inside reflects outside. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Your love for us is so magnificent. And I pray for me and I pray for my friends, hope at home and hope right here in the building, God. Maybe we don't think and we just react. Maybe we're hurt. Maybe we're frustrated. Maybe we're just so fearful. We're like an animal that's cornered and all we do is lash out. God, would you replace those things in us with your peace, with your love, with the security that comes from knowing you? And God, if we've never accepted your gift, Jesus Christ, into our hearts, well, then we're never going to change. If you've never accepted Jesus, you need to do that. You already know what you're doing doesn't work. Jesus, come into our lives. Become the CEO of my week. Help me to pray and to say, God, I need your help. I know what I'm walking into here. God, I need to feel your safety in the midst of a pandemic. God, I need to feel your peace in the midst of all this that's frustrating. God, help us to get over our hurt. Hurting people hurt people. Help us, Lord. Help us to have more of Jesus in us, and then what comes out of us is a completely different response. God, I pray for Hope at Home and the friends here in the building. Lord, bless them. Lord, keep them. May your strength and may the power of God Almighty radiate upon them and give them peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let's just say in our heart, let's just say to the Lord, Lord, I love you. I need you. Walk with me this week, Lord. Walk with me. Talk with me. Help me, Lord, I pray. Let's keep it simple. Lord, help. Remind me my identity is in you. It's not what I do, it's whose I am. Thank you, Jesus, you died for us. Amen. Let's stand.